Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
That's really cool. Well, hey, if you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and get it out. Or if you don't have a Bible, you want to use your phone or tablet, you can do that too. If this is your first time to church, maybe ever or in a long time, you're like, yeah, usually, you know, when I went to church, they were like, put your phones away. And now we're like, take your phones out. And there's an awesome app that I use, a Bible app called YouVersion, YOUVersion. You can pull that out, download it, and you can follow along in God's Word today. We want to encourage everybody that's here today to follow along in God's Word. We also have these amazing cards that are scattered throughout your seats. Maybe you passed them down the rows, but now would be a good time to get those back. That's a little place you can take notes. You can take notes in your phone too, but you can write notes down. And there's also a blue card called a response card. And everybody's going to need one of those, because at the end of the message today, I'm going to ask everybody to get it out. All right, so now you've got homework. So make sure that you've got a card near you or by you, so that when I say, everybody show me your blue card, you'll have a blue card, all right? yeah, everybody's like, now it got real. All right, I got to get that blue card out. Hey, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 28 today. And what I hope to do is just share this true story from God's Word with you. And then I'll make a couple of comments about it, say a couple of things, and then I'm just going to share two main things with you this morning. So we're going to be think are really vital, really important as we talk about this passage of Scripture, all right? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start in verse 1. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
All right, let's do this. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. Oh, this is so good. Here we go. Says this, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. All right, now I want to stop right there. I want you to kind of get this visual in your head of what's happening, all right? So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, these two women, they go to the tomb, okay? So Jesus, a couple of days before, on Good Friday, he was crucified, he died, they took his body down, they wrapped it up, such was their Jewish custom, and they put him in a tomb. He didn't even have a tomb of his own because he wasn't planning on using it for very long, and so somebody let him borrow one, and so it wasn't even his tomb, and they wrapped him up and they put him in there, and they were so, the Roman officials were so scared that like Jesus was going to, you know, some conspiracy was going to happen, or somebody was going to try to take the body or steal it, they ordered for a really large stone to be rolled in front of it and some of Rome's finest guards to stand guard at it. So it's break of dawn. It's still a little bit dark outside, but the sun is starting to shine through the clouds just a hair. And the women have gone to the tomb, probably for a couple of reasons. One, to mourn. To mourn, to go and to remind themselves of what they had just witnessed, the crucifixion of the Lord, the one that they had put all their hopes, all their dreams, all their lives into, who was now dead. And he hadn't just been dead that day, he had been dead for multiple days at this point. So they probably went to mourn. Secondly, they probably also went to fulfill some other customs. You know, they would bring some things to kind of help make things smell a little better, some perfumes and some flowers. And there were also gardens around the tomb. And so maybe they were going to plant some flowers and just kind of do some things to spruce it up. Again, probably a lot of their way to mourn and fulfill all of their customs. So they show up. And they go, and it's still a little dark, and the sun's shining through, and all of a sudden, the ground underneath them starts shaking. And they're like, what? There's an earthquake happening. The earthquake happens, and it's such a powerful earthquake. Like, I don't want you to think, how many of you survived the Virginia earthquake of 2011? Okay, all right. Yeah, no, exactly. I remember it was so powerful. I was sitting at a restaurant called Guapo's with a friend of mine eating some fried yuca, and I thought it was so powerful, I thought he was shaking the table with his leg. It is. I was like, oh, we're going down. No, it was, okay, don't think that type of earthquake. This earthquake was so powerful that it shook the ground so hard that this large, mighty stone that was in front of it moved out of the way. This was a powerful earthquake. Okay. Now, and then all of a sudden, like an angel, it says an angel of the Lord appears. Now, one thing you got to understand about angels in the Bible is they're pretty scary. Okay. So a lot of times we're like, oh, I don't know. Was that an angel? Was it not? I don't know. Were you scared? Because most of the time, like if you see an angel, they usually start off the conversation with, don't be afraid. All right, and we're going to see some of that in a second. So the angel comes, and I love what the angel does. Angel could have done anything. Could have stood there. He could have walked around. He could have, you know, done whatever. He could have gritted. Like, he could have done whatever he wanted to. The angel of the Lord goes, and he sits down on top of the stone that had just been rolled away by an earthquake. Now that is taking it to the man, you know? Like, that was it. That was like the ultimate. And he sits there. Now I just want you to imagine, let's say you go to the cemetery to visit one of your fallen relatives and that happens. Anybody sticking around? Nah, man, I'm out, all right? I am out. It ain't going to happen. I'm not even sticking around. I'm like, angels, they know where to find me. I'm out of here. Like, they can come to my house, all right? And so this is what happens. All right, verse 3. Listen to what the angel looked like. His appearance was like lightning. Now, notice he uses the word like, because it's not that his appearance was lightning. So I don't need y'all to all go out and every time you see lightning, be like, oh, look at the pretty angels in the sky. Okay, that's not what this is saying. It says it's like lightning. Like, if you saw something you had never seen before and you were trying to write down to describe it, you would say, I don't know, it was like this. It was kind of like that. And that's what the Bible's doing. It goes, his appearance was like lightning. So I'd imagine it was bright. It was fierce. It was noticeable. And it says his clothing was white as snow, which means it was pure. Like, this wasn't something that had been washed and tied a couple of times, all right? This was something that was like, had never been soiled, never been touched, was totally pure. Look at verse 4. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Okay. Now, it doesn't say they died, so that was really nice of the angel, but they probably wish they were. Okay, so they're looking in here, and the appearance, I want you to notice the angel didn't do anything. Like, the angel, he didn't, you know, like, fight them. He didn't come bringing swords and spears. He just showed up. The stone rolled away by an earthquake, and it says two of Rome's finest, who were just there driving nails into the hands and feet of Jesus, were now fallen on the ground playing dead because of this whole sight that had happened. All right, let's keep going. Look at verse 5. But the angel said to the women, and I love that he's got to talk to the women because the two men, they're playing dead on the sides. So the angel says to the women, do not be afraid. Yeah, he probably should have led with that. But this is still fine. This is still fine. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are seeking Jesus who was crucified. Listen to the next verse. He is not here, for he has risen just like he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Now, I love this because the angel looks and he has to tell the women, okay, fear not. I had to do some things to get the Roman soldiers out of the way. But listen, I know that you're here to take care of the body of Jesus. I know you're here to mourn and to grieve. I know you're here. You've been through a lot the last couple of days. Heck, the last few years. But I need you to know, he ain't here. He's not here. And I can imagine at that point in time, the ladies had some questions. Yeah? Wouldn't you? Like, where is he? That'd be a good question to ask. Who took him? How did this happen? Who are you? Like, there are some really reasonable questions that the women could have asked in that moment. And instead he says, listen, he's not here because he is risen. Everyone say risen. He is risen. That word risen is powerful. It is impactful. That word risen doesn't mean like, yeah, we thought he was dead, but you guys, he was just faking you guys out. Or, you know, we thought he was dead, but the angels came in, did some CPR, now he's fine. Like, it wasn't like that, all right? That word risen means he was dead. He was dead. Like dead. Like no air coming through his lungs. Like blood stopped going. Body starting to decay. Jesus was dead. And that word risen means he is not dead anymore. He is alive. And this is what happens. Now this is such a major event that God didn't put a sign up on the tomb, you know, out for lunch or coming back or, you know, come, I'll be there soon. Like, he doesn't leave a note. This is such a major event. Jesus sends an angel from heaven that's like lightning and pure as snow to come down and make an announcement so that everybody knows it wasn't the Roman government that found Jesus. It wasn't his disciples that found Jesus. It was the power of God who found Jesus. Like, it was God's strength and God's power that raised Jesus up from the dead. I love that. And then the angel does this. He goes, I can imagine he sees the looks on their faces. They're just taking it all in. If I'm the women, I actually don't even know if I've heard what he has said yet. I'm still like on the whole earthquake thing, I think. And instead, he looks at them and I can just see the confused looks on their faces. He says, well, come on in. Let me show you around. And they walk in and they see the place where he lay. All right, look at verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. Now that's important because that's where Jesus told his disciples that he would meet him after he rose from the dead. And it says, there you will see him. Now that's really important because so many people go, yeah, I think you guys who believe Jesus rose from the dead just kind of... maybe it's just like theoretical, you know? Maybe this whole talk of new life, it's a really nice thing, but maybe it's actually more of a psychological issue. Or maybe you're using it as an emotional crutch. But here's the issue with that. The Bible speaks clearly that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was very public about his resurrection. Like, he didn't rise from the dead and go, just feel it in your heart, okay? Like, he didn't do that. He showed up. And he was seen. Like right here it says, you will see him. Not feel him. Not think about him. You will see him. And Jesus would go on for 40 days and be seen by many, many people. In fact, at one point, by 500 people at one time as he was teaching about the kingdom of God. I also love the fact that he has to tell the two women to go tell the disciples. Because where are the boys at? Where they're curled up in a fetal position in the house, just praying for the best, I guess. Look at what happens. Verse 8. So they departed quickly from the tomb. I bet they did. With fear and great joy. Isn't that beautiful? They were scared and really happy. Man, that's kind of what it feels like to follow Jesus, isn't it? I'm a little scared, but I'm also super joyful about it. It's amazing. And goes on in verse 9 and says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. That word greetings is less of like, you know, I don't know. I hear that word and maybe it's like the sci-fi nerd in me. I just think of aliens, you know, like greetings, earthlings, you know, like that word greetings is not exactly the exactly what was happening. It's actually more of a word of celebration. Like hooray, woohoo, we did it. Like, here we are. Like, it was a celebratory tone. I don't want you to think Jesus was just sitting there going, greetings, earthlings. Like, he was welcoming. He was excited. He was joyful. And it says they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So I love this story. I wanted to share it with you, you know, it being Easter and all. But I want to share with you a couple of things that we learn about who Jesus is in this passage. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, the risen Jesus is powerful. The risen Jesus is powerful. Like in this story, in God's Word, this is a true story, by the way. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's not something to help us feel better. This is a true story. This happened. The risen Jesus is powerful. He has all power. In fact, if you go down all the way to verse 18, Jesus says, "I have all the authority in heaven and on earth." Like Jesus has all of the authority. He is all powerful. Here's what that means. What it means that Jesus is all-powerful, number one, it means He cannot fail. It means He cannot fail. I want you to think about your failures for a second, because life is full of them, right? If you're here today and you go, "Think about my failures," well, first of all, that's not very Easterly of you. Second of all, I don't know if I can recall any failures. That's not true. We all got them. Everybody's got some failures in their life. We don't like to think about them or talk about them. But the fact is, some of us are in here today with failed relationships, failed marriages, failed exams, failed careers, failed dreams. Like, we are in here today and we can all associate in some level with some sort of failure in our life. But I want you to hear this. This story, the resurrection of Jesus, reminds us that Jesus is so powerful, He cannot fail. Like, He said He was going to rise from the dead, and He rose from the dead. Like, He can do anything. Like, that is all powerful. Jesus cannot fail. How do I know? He has never failed. He has never failed. So why wouldn't we want to follow Him? Why wouldn't we want to follow the one who we know is leading us in a direction, and that direction may fail, people may fail us, churches may fail us, God's people may fail us, but Jesus will never fail us. He is all powerful. Now, I love that in verse 8 when it says that they went out with fear and with great joy. That's power. Like, when you're following someone who has all the power, you're a little scared and really joyful, because you know that whatever you go do is going to succeed. Like, guys, I want you to think about it right now. The resurrection of Jesus could have stopped dead in its tracks 2 years after it happened. And we would all be sitting here right now having never even heard the name of Jesus. But the fact is that for thousands of years, people in every nation, tribe, and tongue are hearing that Jesus is alive. And right now, there are people all over the globe who are celebrating just like us, because Jesus cannot fail. He cannot fail. I love that. Here's what else. He is all powerful because He defeated sin. He defeated sin. Guys, listen, Jesus was tempted with everything you and I are tempted with. Like the Bible says, He was tempted, but without sin. So the difference is, Jesus is tempted in the same ways that we are tempted. But the difference in us and Jesus is that we have given in to that sin. The word sin is just a word in the Bible used to describe going against God's way. Maybe another word you could use is like disobedience. God has a design and a way that He wants all of us to live by, because God created all things. So God knows the best way in which they are to be enjoyed. And so God gave us that way. But sin is every time we want to go our own way and skip out on God's way. And the fact is, guys, every single one of us in this room, whether you go to church or not go to church regularly, we've all messed up. We've all sinned and we've all given in to that temptation. I look at temptation kind of like, where are my fishermen at? Anybody, fishermen, fishermen? Anybody go fishing? Okay, wow, we do not get out much. Impact fishing trip coming up, summer 2024. It's going to be really awesome, all right. Oh man, we're lame. No, I'm just kidding. But when you go, then I'll just take some time to explain it to you. When we go fishing, right, you put something on the end of your hook, right? Sometimes it can be a lot of different things, but what I usually use, I just like to go to the store, get a cup full of dirt, it's got some worms in it, and go put a worm, and you stick it on the hook, and you throw it out. Now, the fact is, that is temptation. The worm is temptation. The worm hanging out on a hook in the middle of the river or wherever we're fishing, that's not bad. Like, that's not causing any harm to the fish. It's doing nothing to the fish. The problem is when the fish sees the worm and is tempted to take a big bite out of the worm, knowing all of his other little Nemo friends told him, don't eat the worms. You will surely die. Okay? Like, after all of that, all right, but instead, this little fish is like, man, I got to give in to that temptation. He goes, and he starts nibbling a little bit. And at first, it's no big deal. The fisherman sees it and goes, okay, he's nibbling. But in just a second, he's going to go get the big bite. He's just going to go take a bite out of it. Guys, that's what happens when we nibble on temptation and we start to do that. We go in and we take a big bite, and that is when sin happens. Guys, Jesus was tempted. He saw all the worms, all the temptations that you and I face as human beings. Jesus faced every one of them. The problem is sometimes we take the bait. Sometimes we bite. And what does that lead to the fish? Leads to death. Leads to being on my plate with some coleslaw and hush puppies. All right? That's what it leads. That's what it leads to the fish. And guys, the Bible says sin also leads us to death. That living a life of a rhythm of sin will lead us so far away from God that we will not have a risen story. Ours will be a story of death. But see, what Jesus did is Jesus defeated sin. And Jesus defeated that sin. He withstood it through all the temptation and then gave his life on the cross as a salvation for our sins, so that he suffered death for sins he did not commit, so that we could have life for sins that we did commit. And guys, that's called grace. And that's what Jesus did for us. He defeated our sin. But Jesus also defeated death. Jesus is so powerful that he cannot fail. He defeated sin and he defeated death. Now listen, maybe you're sitting here going, Brandon, I don't know, you guys are a bunch of sinners. I don't really struggle with sin that much. And that's so good for you. But you know what you do struggle with? Death. Yeah, we all struggle with it because it's going to happen to every single one of us. And Jesus did too, actually. Jesus struggled with death too. And in fact, he succumbed to it. He died. The difference, though, is that Jesus defeated death, because 3 days later, after being dead for 3 days, Jesus' body started breathing again. And Jesus came back to life. And he showed, come on, if you're going to clap, give it up. We're not going to play around today. Listen, Jesus showed that he is powerful over failure. He is powerful over sin. And he is powerful over death itself. Guys, there is nothing we can do about those things in our lives. There is nothing we can do to cover up our failure. There is nothing we can do to cover up our sin. And there is nothing we can do to escape death except through Jesus. If we have a relationship with Jesus and we follow Jesus, then failure doesn't matter anymore. Sins are forgiven and death won't happen. Though your physical body may die, you will live forever with Jesus. Here's the second thing I wanted to tell you guys today, is that the risen Jesus, not only is he powerful, but the risen Jesus is personal. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The risen Jesus is personal. You notice how Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he didn't tell the angels, I want you guys to put a nice little conference together. I want you to build me a really big stadium. Get as many people in the stadium as you can. Get a really awesome worship band. Make sure the lights are just right and the fog machine, because I'm going to come and I'm going to say this one time. That's not what Jesus did. Instead, Jesus started showing up to people. Jesus started speaking to people. In fact, we have so many accounts where Jesus started saying people's names. Because Jesus is not just powerful, this powerful Jesus is personal. We know this because, number one, he's kind. Listen to what he said, do not fear, rejoice. Do not fear, have joy. And then when he says greetings, or that rejoicing that he does, then he says, go tell the brothers, you know, go wake them up and tell them that Jesus is alive so they don't miss this whole resurrection thing. We see that Jesus is kind. Guys, Jesus is kind to you too. And so many of us may have a picture of God that is not kind. A picture of God that is ready to strike us down if we sin. Or a picture of God who doesn't care about our suffering. Or a picture of God who is just some celestial being up there that may or may not have any power. But guys, Jesus is an all-powerful God who is also personal. And He is kind to you. And I am so sorry for those of us in this room who have had an experience in following Jesus where you have experienced the people of Jesus who have not been kind. And I want to tell you, I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry if that's been me. I'm sorry if you've experienced that at this church or at another church. But I want you to hear me say this. Our Savior is kind. Jesus is kind, and God willing, He will make us more like Him, which is kind. Number two, we know He's personal because He is beautiful. Look at what it says. The women, they when they saw Him, they grabbed His feet and they began worshiping Him. Like, you don't grab somebody's feet and worship them if they are repulsive. Okay? They did it because He is beautiful. Physically, probably. Spiritually, emotionally, the whole thing about Jesus is He is beautiful. And then lastly, we see that Jesus is purposeful. Jesus is kind, He is beautiful, but He is also purposeful. He tells the women, go tell them, go tell the brothers, go tell, like, there's this constant view of, not only did I rise from the dead, but we got something to do together. Like, I'm not just going to rise from the dead and I want you to put a picture of me up in your room or in your office or hang a cross from your car mirror so that you can be reminded of me time to time. Jesus has a purpose for your life. And as you follow Him, you and Him work together to see other people's lives changed around the world. And this is what we see. The first missionaries ever sent out by Jesus were two Jewish women, who by all accounts in society were scoffed upon. Do you know women were not even allowed to testify in court? Like, they just wouldn't accept the testimony of a woman. And yet Jesus chooses women, the very people that culture and society at the time were neglecting, to go be the ones to announce to the world, thousands of years later that we're still talking about, that Jesus is alive. So if God chose to use them, then He can choose to use you. The resurrection of Jesus, guys, it's not a holiday. It's a way of life. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up, but you guys have those blue cards I told you about? I want you guys to get those blue cards out that I told you about. And I want you guys to see that the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything. Like, if Jesus is fully alive, then He is intimately personal with us. And if Jesus is alive, that doesn't change our Easter Sunday. That changes our mundane Mondays. Like, if Jesus is alive, it's not just good for Sunday. Jesus' life and resurrection is good for you on Monday. And somewhere along the way, we've tricked ourselves into thinking this is just some sort of religious exercise, this whole going to church thing. And if He's really up there and this is really true, I just want to make sure that I'm covered. But guys, that's not what this is. Jesus is all powerful and He is intimately personal with you. And Jesus did not rise from the dead to give you some sort of religion to lean on about five times throughout your whole life. Jesus did it so that on Monday, when you go back to work and the hooray of the holiday is over, that you still have hope. And on Tuesday, when your world falls apart, you still have hope. And on Wednesday, when you get that phone call or something doesn't go according to plan, you still have hope. Because Jesus is alive every day of the week. And that means we can have a relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you, those of you who are here today, if you have that blue card, I want you to get it out And I just want you to hold it in your hand for a second. Guys, that blue card, what we're going to do with that today, is I'm going to ask everybody to fill that out today. And it's not about, I don't care about information. I mean, if you put information on there, it's great. We'll send you some information about our community groups. You'll get an email. It'll be great. But if that's not your thing, don't worry about it. All right, just hit unsubscribe. I don't care. Here's what I want you to know, is that today, I feel like every one of us, whether you are just here because you're here with family, or whether you're here because you're looking for a church, or maybe you're here, you've been coming for 2.5 years. Everybody that's here today has a decision to make. What are you going to do with Jesus? And we all are going to do something with Jesus. We're going to follow him or we're going to reject him, but every one of us are going to do something with the resurrected Jesus, who is all powerful and all personal. And I want you to know you can have a risen story too. And so on the back of your response card, if you turn that over on the back, there are some boxes that you can check. The first one on here says, I want to follow Jesus. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask anybody that's here today that you go, man, for the first time, maybe you were raised in church. Maybe it's your first time to church ever. But you're hearing this and you're going, man, I want to follow that Jesus. Like, I ain't talking about your church attendance. I'm not talking about doing a bunch of stuff. I'm just talking about you and Jesus today. If that's you today and you've never fully given your life to follow Jesus, I don't care if you grew up in church. I don't care if you were baptized. I'm saying you've never given your life to fully follow Jesus. Then today, this is your day. And I'm going to ask you in just a second, you don't have to do it right now, that you're going to check that first box. Today, I want to follow Jesus. Now listen, if you're here today and you already have a relationship with Jesus, then for you, what I believe is everybody has a next step. Everybody has a next step to follow Jesus. So what is the resurrection of Jesus leading your life to do? Because Jesus is alive, he has given me a purpose to what? And for you, if you're already a follower of Jesus, you're going to mark one of those other boxes, maybe even the other, and even go, I don't know. But there's something God wants for my life. And going to church once a year, that ain't it. I've got a purpose with an all-powerful and an all-personal risen Savior. So,
hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.